Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today we're going to talk all about virtual staffing. I'm very delighted to have Danny Nabavi here. He's CEO of Staffing for Doctors, and he's very innovative. He has helped medical practices and legal practices, all kinds of businesses, to kind of next level their performance and their efficiency with virtual assistants. So welcome to the podcast, Danny.
Thank you, Dr. K. It's a pleasure to be here and super excited to chat with you.
So in this age of AI, you've opted to use virtual assistants who are real people coming from other different countries and locations around the world and helping us in our everyday office work. How does that even work?
it's a funny question. A lot of people ask, like, how do virtual assistants work? How do they integrate with my team? It's pretty simple. It's very simple, especially with technology these days. And what we do is we make sure that they have a home setup. They have a home setup they work with through their laptops or computers. And what we do is we make sure that they connect with any EMR, EHR that any medical practice uses, same way that you onboard a local staff. So we treat them as though they're local staff. A lot of people, including yourself, have the staff on Zoom throughout the day, and it's as though they're in the office. So pretty easy to integrate with them. They work on our time zones as well, and very talented individuals too.
That's so interesting. I guess I've been more receptive to this idea of having a virtual assistant, virtual receptionist, because I've been playing with AI so much this year. We actually tried a virtual AI receptionist, and she was actually outstanding. And then I have currently a virtual research assistant who's living in North Carolina, who used to work with us in person. So it can work, but you definitely have to have systems in place. I had a lot of fear initially about getting a receptionist remotely, because I thought, how is she going to know our patients? How is she going to chat with them and like bond with them? But what has your experience been? Have most doctors' offices loved having a virtual receptionist?
Yeah, the virtual receptionist is probably one of the most popular roles that we have, and it's because the phone is ringing off the hook. We have some surgery centers that have 10 plus virtual staff with us, and the fear for some local staff here like in Los Angeles are like, oh, they're going to replace me. That's definitely not what we're here for. We're here to enhance the local staff so that they can be more efficient and take care of the patients that are coming into the office, right? So the virtual reception role has been honestly amazing, because people aren't missing calls anymore. That's people are showing up to their actual appointments, and that's more revenue in your pockets, right? People miss appointments or no shows. That means that you're losing potential revenue coming into your practice too, and even time slots of other people that can fulfill those roles and other patients that can come in during that time. So it's helped with show up rates. It's helped with patient care coordination, making sure that people are heard, and just overall retention as well too.
Interesting. And so as a business owner, I think one of the most attractive things about this proposition is the fact that we are working with people in other countries who are very delighted to get what a very handsome salary is in those countries, which compared to U.S. pricing is probably like 50% of what we're paying our U.S. Employees. And we're not having that extra overhead of taxes and, you know, Medicare and like taking out workers' comp and disability and all the things that add up to 30% extra on top
of salary.
Office space.
Rent, equipment, all these different things.
So these folks function as independent contractors, or they're just under you?
Yeah, so they work under us. We're a vendor for all of our clients. We provide W-9s to our clients, but this staff is all under us, and we take care of all the benefits for them. We take care of all, like you said, those payroll, HR headaches, whatever. So if you want to hire more staff, we can place staff within 48 hours. If you want to replace a staff, we can replace a staff right away as well. So we are here to make your practice run more efficiently and make sure that those administrative tasks are getting knocked out so you can focus on the most important thing, which is your patient care.
I think so often these days we call an office and you get the automated push one, push two. It's like so hard to reach a human being. So this is actually refreshing.
Yeah, people want to be heard. Yeah. They want to build connections. They want to, if they want to vent, they want to vent to someone. If they want to say, great job, they want to tell someone, hey, great job. They want to be known on a first name basis.
Yeah.
So that's what we try to do too, is a lot of patients, a lot of clients that we have, their patients are recurring patients, right? So they build those relationships with them, and it makes it feel more at home.
True. If you take medical insurance, they can also help with prior authorizations,
yes,
eligibility checking, and verifying deductibles and all the, you know, like tedious tasks that need to get done.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're getting surgery authorizations, it's like kind of
it's a no-brainer for those ones. We have a couple practices right now that have, like I said, 10 plus staff. We have an ophthalmology practice, mm-hmm, here in Los Angeles. They have 3 locations. And all they have is prior auth and insurance verification specialists. That's it.
Mm.
That's all they have. They have about 200 prior auths that have to be done a day.
Oh,
and
gosh.
This role has really helped them stay on top of it, make sure that all these people are verified, and that when they come in, it's just a seamless process.
Can you kind of tell us about a real life example of a practice that's kind of transformed how it operates with using virtual staff?
Yeah. So I'll use another one. They're a dentist, actually, here, mm-hmm, and a lot of our clients are here in Los Angeles, but we have nationwide everywhere as well too. So this practice specifically, they were having a big problem with medical billing accounts receivable, and they had about 400,000 in accounts receivable for a month.
Wow.
So, and that's, it's money that's not going into the doctor's pockets. That's negative revenue, and it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we placed 3 billers in there. We placed one that helps with just medical billing in general, placed one accounts receivable, and one collections. So each one of them had a specific role, and they had a goal of collecting $200,000 for that month. The first month they went in there, all 3 of those people were reporting under the medical biller that's local in the office.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a dental practice with 7 locations.
Mm.
And they all reported to that person locally because she was by herself.
Mm.
She had to do all this by herself and try to get $400,000 in revenue.
Probably drowning in work.
Drowning.
Yeah.
And we placed these 3 staff, and they had a goal of $200,000. Last month, they hit a goal. They crushed it. They went to $250,000 collected.
Oh,
so they
job.
Went from $400,000 down to $150,000 now.
That's amazing.
And now their goal is to collect the rest of the $150,000. So that's a real example of revenue that was just sitting there,
mm-hmm,
that the work has been completed, and there's outstanding invoices and outstanding balances being collected. Another example would be one of the surgery centers that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
And the surgery center, now they have about 20 plus staff. And the biggest problem was they have different providers that need to be booked and scheduled. People were not confirming those appointments. People were missing the appointments for their own surgery. So we got all that staff in there, started placing them in there, and now it's just a seamless process of they all report to about 3 staff locally here in Los Angeles too, and now that team is just running automated. So that's what we really help with, is making the local staff more efficient, make sure they're not drowning, and then obviously coming in and making your operations streamlined.
I know it's been a breath of relief for our front desk receptionist, Sarah, who often has someone checking out, and then a new patient will walk in, and then the phone will ring, and she gets a little like, oh my gosh, how can I do the best customer service when 3 people are coming at me?
Yeah.
So having the virtual receptionist right there has been like pretty nice for us. But doctors do have fears. I think, mm-hmm, all people do. Like, what are the biggest fears, and how do you tell them, like, the answer around those fears?
Yeah, some of the biggest fears that I've noticed is they're like, oh, I don't want them to have access to my EMR or EHR.
I asked Danny all these questions, by the way, because I'm so protective of my patients and our business. So,
And the one thing that I always tell, including yourself and all of our clients that have been with us, is that it's the same way that if you're hiring a local staff, they need access to your EMR or EHR as well too.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference?
Somehow you trust a physical person more than you trust a remote person.
At the end of the day, they're a person.
Yeah.
They're a physical person. It's the same thing. They might not be working in your exact office space right here, but they're an actual person, and they have those feelings, emotions, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having that trust, that's one of the biggest problems that we've noticed, but we mitigate that with saying that, hey, this stuff is dedicated to you. This is an opportunity for them. They're super excited to be working with a U.S. healthcare practice, especially someone like yourself, Dr. K, that's so prestigious and working, and it's an honor for them too.
Mm-hmm.
So they appreciate that. And I always tell our clients, treat the staff as though they're local staff.
Mm-hmm.
And this will go above and beyond. But some of the other fears might be security. We make sure that they're all HIPAA compliant. as mm-hmm. well. So mm-hmm. all of our staff are HIPAA compliant. We sign BAAs with all of our staff members, with all of our clients.
Yeah, business as well associates agreements. Yeah,
associates agreements. So we take care of all the compliance too.
Yeah.
But those are usually the biggest fears that we've seen.
Yeah. And I think like it's a relationship. Like we started out with like, okay, very tentative. We're just giving you access to very limited things. And then we realized like this is a very nice person. They're so, you know, honest and sincere and genuine and ethical. And so then we give them a little bit more access. So I think it's stepwise, like developing the comfort and then understanding that like, it's like the first time you use ChatGPT and you're like, wow, I can next level myself. So I think resource-wise, this is such a great thing to like help practices level up.
And those practices, it usually takes, same way you onboard a local staff, they start getting comfortable within 60, 90 days. They start learning the systems, they learn the team, they learn exactly how you operate. Same way with overseas staff and virtual staff. After that day 90, it's like it clicks.
Yeah.
And it clicks and they're just part of that team and it sticks and you can't get rid of them. You can't get rid of them. And people are like, I want more staff. They've been helping us so much. And that's what we noticed, that first 90-day period. And that's why we're here at Staffing for Doctors as a team too. We're very a part of it. We have all these account managers that are checking in on a daily, weekly basis with the staff, with your staff as well too. We want this to work. Mm-hmm. We want this partnership to work. And we've been very lucky to have amazing partners that have been with us for many, many years. And I'm grateful for all of them too.
Are there, for aesthetic practices and people who are listening who may be trying to scale, like what are the biggest operational mistakes that we can make starting with virtual assistants?
Operational mistakes? I mean, so what we do differently is we present like 3 to 4 candidates for each role. And sometimes people might say like, oh, their English level might not be as good as this specific candidate, but it's all experience mm-hmm. That we look at. I look at, and the mistakes that people make is that they pick a staff based off just their interview and how they presented themselves. What I look at is how long they've been at each role for. Have they been at that role for 3-4 years? How successful were they? Do they stick with that person? Mm-hmm. Did they show their work? All that kind of things. That's where the interview process is usually where people make the mistakes of picking the right candidate. Mm-hmm. And that's where we help guide them too, because picking the right person is everything. Mm-hmm. You can pick the right person that you think is good and after 2 weeks it doesn't work out, right? But then we bring up other candidates, you pick another person that you liked that you might have not liked as much on the interview, but then when they actually get to work, they're absolutely crushing it. So I think that's one of the areas where in our business people can make, on the aesthetic side, it's obviously the people that you hire, mm-hmm. but then also the roles. And what I mean by the roles is overseas staff work really well off structure. Mm-hmm. They work really well off structure and not new projects. I wouldn't put an overseas staff on a new project that we haven't completed ourselves, that mm-hmm. we don't even know can actually happen. They work well off key performance indicators. Like mm-hmm. let's say if it's someone that's doing scheduling, we know that they're supposed to make 60 calls because someone locally in the office has done that and that this many people are supposed to answer. But if we're putting them on a project to go, hey, go make me a website mm-hmm. or whatever, no one's ever done that before, there's no way we can monitor that. There's no way we can track them and see, like, are they actually performing well or not? So giving the staff roles that are that have been proven out really helps with the onboarding process. It helps with the staff itself and showing you where they can really benefit.
I agree. I think for us, we've tried to use standard operating procedures mm-hmm. and sending over like kind of templates for what we think is good. And like then once they learn the system, then they can become creative after that.
Yeah, as long as you have a certain structure for them, like SOPs are great. Mm-hmm. They can go off that and then they add to it.
Yeah.
They add to it. They're like, oh, you know what? Like maybe it's missing this part of it. Maybe it's missing this. Let me try this.
Yeah.
But as long as they have a foundation and a baseline to go off of, they'll do well.
Now you and I are very like tech savvy and we try to like do early adoption of tech, but what are the top 3 tools or platforms that you can't live without when you're running this lean remote operation that you would recommend?
Yeah, so 100% everything's virtual. So we use Zoom or Google Meet or Microsoft Teams, anything mm-hmm. On that end is key. All of our team, our sales team, they are meeting with clients nationwide. It could be they have a call They have like 5 calls today just lined up, one in Florida, one in Texas, here in Los Angeles, one in Minnesota. Like, nice. That's their calls today.
Yeah.
So they're everywhere right now.
Yeah.
So definitely Zoom, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams. We use HubSpot as our CRM. This mm-hmm. is where all of our client base lives. Mm-hmm. All the data from our marketing to our finance, to our sales, to our retention, everything lives in there. So I would recommend HubSpot mm-hmm. as well too. And other tools that I personally use, there's some project management tools like monday.coms or those Trellos of the world. That's mm-hmm. really good for project management, of knowing exactly where your projects are. You don't want to have it on, I used to just be on Notes tab back in the day,
long time ago. Same.
And just write down everything. I was very like writing down everything, but now I have boards that I know exactly due dates, and I have automation set up. Zapier is a good thing mm-hmm. as well, where it helps with automations. Anything that I see that is redundant, I try to automate so that I can focus on the bigger picture too.
Interesting. And how do you see AI and automations like kind of intersecting with this world of virtual staffing?
I think they can work hand in hand. OpenAI just released GPT-5, I think, yesterday.
Yeah. So yeah, have you tried it yet?
Not yet.
Me neither. I was going to wait and see a few reviews before I take my old version.
So I'm gonna look into that. But one thing that it helped with my recruitment team, with our recruitment team and our recruiters that source these candidates, they interview these candidates, make sure everything's going well, we implemented AI with a screening tool where the first interviews are monitored by AI. Like the candidates are talking to those people and they're screened automatically. Mm. So we're implementing it internally for our teams as well. And whatever
Wait, you mean ChatGPT is listening to the interview and then gives you feedback?
So we have some different partners that right now that we're using that have AI interviews as well. Mm. And it takes the full screening of the resume, that screens all the resumes that are coming in for these candidates, goes through all of them, says yes or no. Mm. And my team goes through all the no's. See if there's anyone in there that possibly could have been a good option. And then from the yeses, they all get video interviews set up right away.
How often does a good person get a reject?
I would say it's probably less than 20%.
Okay, so they're pretty spot on.
Pretty spot on. Mm-hmm. But still, there's some...
There's
a couple in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we started using that recently, and our initial interviews are all recorded with an AI bot that's doing the interviews, and my sourcing team gets the interviews, they review it, and then they reach out and they start saying, hey, this candidate's good or this candidate's not good. So we've started implementing that in our process. I use different AI tools as well for really automations, like workflows, as far as
what are your favorites AI tools?
There's a couple. I mean, ChatGPT's obviously one of them. There's Claude. Claude's a good one. And then that's what I've really maneuvered into. But I've been using ChatGPT as far as working with my HubSpot and helping build different workflows in there so that we build it. Even now it's starting to take control of my screen and build the workflows for me, something that used to take a week, 2 weeks, now takes a couple minutes.
Okay.
So, but obviously I have to prompt it in the correct way and all that. But that's what we're trying to, that's what we're teaching our virtual assistants now too. So that the virtual assistants and AI mix will be honestly like the superpower.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get them all, we're training them, teaching them about it, making sure that they're up to par with all the new tech stacks that are coming out, so that whatever staff that we place with your practice, they're innovative too. And they can think of different ideas. Hey, have you thought of this? Have you thought of that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna use this to, for example, for marketing or for sales or for client follow-up. If it's calling people and saying happy birthday to them to come into the office, whatever it is, right? Setting those all up. We're having our staff really learn that and implement into these practices.
Interesting. What are some of the, everything has problems and side effects and complications. Have there been a few standout things that have gone wrong and you've solved them, I'm sure, but what were those things?
In the staffing world, we're dealing with people, right? There's emotions, there's feelings.
It's the human element wrong.
It's the human element, but that's also the beautiful part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And building these relationships, there's things that go wrong sometimes, but at the end of the day, you just need to hear out the staff, talk to them. They're people too.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it works out. I'm very on top of trying to make sure all my staff are happy, that they are committed, that they're in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing. Any staff that we place with our clients, we want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a staff that I wouldn't hire for myself internally, we're not placing it for our clients. So it's the human element, but that's the beautiful part. Like, we've built so many relationships around all these different countries now.
Mm-hmm.
And that 6-7 years ago didn't think of.
So what are the countries that you've been working the most with when you're finding VAs?
Yeah, so a lot of different countries. Philippines, probably number one. Mm-hmm. Nicaragua, number two. Mm-hmm. Ecuador, Colombia, Dominican Republic. So those are the most of the countries that we work with, about 8 or 9 different countries. And what we've noticed is the Latin America staff, it's more for the front desk receptionist roles or for these practices, especially California, Texas, Florida.
Yes, it helps if they speak Spanish.
Yes, yeah. Spanish-speaking, that ophthalmology practice I was talking about, 80% of their calls are Spanish-speaking.
Oh, wow.
So, they're here in Hawthorne and Torrance. Mm. They have two locations mm-hmm. here. And so we placed a couple staff in there, and it's helped with the communication, the trust factor of it, too. But mm-hmm. those are the countries. My partner, Nathan, he's actually gone to those specific countries, too, and visited the staff and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm next.
You're going to go out there?
Yeah, I'm going to go out there. The goal is to be in the Philippines by December. So,
Go out there. One of my concerns was like, okay, is this ethical? Are we taking laborers and giving them very low wages? And like, what was your response to that?
Yeah, my response to that is we pay the staff very handsomely, like you said, from your side. So we pay around, I would say 70% of the salary to that staff member. We provide benefits for them. We provide internet, HMO, all these different things to make sure that they stick with us and they stay. It's one thing that a lot of problems in these specific countries is commuting. They had, for example, in the Philippines, it takes 2 to 3 hours just to commute to work, there and back. Mm-hmm. That's 6 hours a day that you're missing right there. Now they get to work from home. They're with their families.
So they love that.
Yeah, so they love that. They love that. And we want to make sure that half the staff is happy too. All the staff that we place, they're, like we said, they're working with United States practices now. So that's fun for them too, that they can go tell their friends, hey, I'm working with Dr. K, or I'm working with this dental practice, or whatever it is, and I'm really enjoying it. So we make sure to take care of them. We want this to be a long-term solution for them, and this a long-term career for them too. Mm-hmm. We don't want this to be a job that they're at for 2-3 months and then say, oh, I want to go to the next one. Mm-hmm. We want this to be somewhere that they're at for many, many years, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, mm-hmm. years, and that they grow and that they feel as though they're a part of a team and that they're making a difference.
Yeah, I think that's important. But that was something that was convincing to me because you were mentioning, like, in the Philippines, how much is a normal hourly rate for workers there?
Sometimes it's usually some people get paid $2, $3, $4 an hour, and we do our best. We pay honestly triple than that from our end, and it's making sure that.
So it's like a really very wonderful wage to get.
Very wonderful wage. It's the commute part of it. They don't have to worry about that anymore. And it's a triple win. It's a win for us as a business. It's a win for you as a client and you running your business in the operations at half the cost and not worrying about that. And the staff is usually, in my case, I prefer overseas staff.
Yeah, you do.
I prefer overseas staff. I love my local staff, 100% love them. But for admin tasks, for anything that's repetitive, mm-hmm. I pass to my overseas staff. My local staff is amazing with communications, front facing, going mm-hmm. to, some of them are here right now, right?
Like
they met you right now, and they're going to meet some people right now too. So I cannot run a business without my overseas staff. They run the back end, but not only that, they run my life too. I'll tell you that they run.
You have your own VA for your own life.
I have my own staff, VA for my own things as far as like my personal life goes as well, and they take care of all my bills, they take care of all my if I want to go on a trip, anything like that. That's all taken care of too. And my email inbox, I check maybe once a day.
Yeah.
I don't check it too often. I usually check at night.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I usually check, like, I haven't checked it probably in the last 24 hours. So someone is
now that's
that.
A luxurious life.
So they go through that and then they tell me, they give me a report at the end of the day to say, hey, these are the top three that are important. Sometimes Dr. K is right there, number one. that's what we've done.
What about digitally naive practices and businesses? Like, if you're not really into digital stuff, what kind of team building, what should prompt you to go into this next level?
Well, it's the future too. With anything that we want to do, it's all tech now.
Yeah.
There's no more paper. There's no more.
I mean, people have worries, you know.
Yeah,
they're
not
real digitally savvy.
But that's where we come in too. We help with the onboarding process. We don't just place a staff and say good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing I think I told you is we don't just say place a staff and say good luck. We're there every step of the way.
Yeah.
Hey, what's working? What's not working? Are they having these kind of connections? Are they having tablet issues? No problem. We'll take care of all that.
Yeah.
We'll take care of all that. We'll make sure that this works.
Yeah.
Are they
the connectivity has to be there?
The connectivity has to be good. Whatever it is, we're there every step of the way. we give you guidance as far as, hey, this is what we recommend. We have like an onboarding checklist of these are the 10 things that we want ready before you meet the candidate, mm-hmm. or this is before you onboard the staff. Do you have an email domain ready for them? For example, danny@beautybydrk.com. Mm-hmm. Do you have all these different things set up? So we guide you through that. We guide you through that and make sure that we help get this process set up because we know it's hard. We know it's a new lane that everyone's going into, and we want to make sure that it's a good experience for everyone too.
I'm really glad that we tried it. I think it's been a very positive experience. There were bumps in the road, yeah. but you helped us through everything. And it definitely takes an investment of your time and training. So you have to be prepared for that. But that's true with any new employee that you onboard. Yeah. So like, but I think once you put the time and effort in, if you can ensure that the relationship is long-term, then it's worth it.
And you'll see
and
the results.
And if it's a lot of turnover, then it's not worth it.
No, it's a lot of turnover, it's definitely not worth it. And the fun and the good part is, yes, you'll put in all this effort in the beginning, the first 30, 60, 90 days, but then they get used to everything. They start knowing how to run everything better than us.
Yeah.
And the fun part about this and the best part about this is whenever you want to hire more staff, then that first virtual staff that you have can train the next one.
That's a beautiful thing. Yes.
So you don't have to keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
And what I tell our clients all the time is the first time that you're training the staff and you're putting in all that effort, make sure everything's recorded so that you only do it once. Mm-hmm. And you can share that recording with the next staff that's coming on. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of our clients do is that first staff becomes basically an operations manager and all the staff under that come in new report under them. And they're like, hey, this is exactly how we're going to, this is exactly how the process works. This is how we're going to do it. And that's been pretty seamless too.
Interesting. Well, I you're really super smart to have got this going. And look at, he wrote this book. Well, you are super smart to have written this all in a book. when did this book get published, Virtual Staffing for Medical Practices?
Yeah, it got published about 2 weeks ago.
So oh, it's brand new. Amazon. Yeah. You can get it on Amazon. And then it talks about the future being virtual and all the different positions, medical biller, patient care coordinator, medical scribe, medical receptionist. It's very cool
to think.
Yeah,
it has all different countries too. So.
Yeah, and all the different countries that people come from. So I love this idea as like the next phase of how do we source labor and how do we clone ourselves? How do we get more efficient?
Yeah.
What motivates you?
What motivates me?
Yes.
What motivates me is...
Personally, like any morning routines, any mindset hacks that you can share?
There's a lot. I wake up early. I wake up early.
What's early? In the mornings. 5 a.m.?
I used to. I read that 5 a.m. There was a book about it. I read it and I did it for about 66 days. So I did it for 66 days and after that I was like, I'm done.
You were like, this is not me.
No, but I wake up at like around 6 a.m. now. And what motivates me is my friends, my family, and just knowing that I have this huge responsibility of all the staff too. Mm-hmm. And that I'm we're providing for all these different staff. Like we've placed about 1,500 staff in the last couple of years. And we're providing a life for these 1,500, but that there's more than that. There's some of these people have 5 family members.
Yeah.
They're the breadwinners.
Yeah.
So that comes out to like, we're helping 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people across the globe to live and have a good life. And that's what motivates me is to wake up every morning and be like, hey, I want to make sure that they're good, that everything's going well, that we can provide better opportunities for them too. But that's what really gets me going. That's my drive is that, and it's fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It's fulfilling at the end of the day too, that I've helped out 5,000 plus people.
Yeah, and to see the success stories and the practices, not to mention the practices.
Yeah, and that's just the staff success, but then also the client success and the practices. So that's fulfilling too, and seeing them grow. The dental practice, they're just opening up their 7th location now in West Hollywood too. So helping them all grow and scale in different ways, and it's been a fun journey so far.
Nice. If you could give one piece of advice to a med spa owner opening their med spa for the first time, what would that be?
So there's a lot of advice. But the number one thing is I would probably hire an overseas staff first instead of hiring a local staff because number one, you're a brand new business. You're growing. You are cost of labor, cost of office space, all these different things you don't have to worry about. So you can get labor that's efficient and cost efficient for you to help scale and grow. And that's what we did with our businesses. We started with about 2 or 3 overseas staff first. They helped us grow and scale to a certain level. Once we hit that certain level and threshold, then we hired a local staff. So hiring that staff, helping them be your operations manager, be your assistant, follow you around everywhere on the 8-hour day-to-day basis. Make sure that they learn everything about you too, about your business, what works, what doesn't work. help them have any setups that they can help with. This is where they can really come in and help you scale and grow in that first initial phase. The hardest part is that first couple months, mm-hmm. especially for those new business owners. The hardest part is that first couple months getting to that specific threshold. But having a staff that has done that, is competent, can help you get through that initial growing pains, was probably my first word of advice.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice because I see a lot of med spa owners who, there's 50% of med spa practices are mom and pop operations mm-hmm. where they're, it's really just them and maybe one front office girl, and then they're answering their own phone, they're making their own bookings, and I think that you can easily exhaust yourself and just burn out. And, you know, we worry about cost containment, so yes. we become our own employees.
Exactly. And you don't want to be a slave of your own.
Yes.
Of your own practice. You want to be a business owner. You want to make sure that
that's right, what you've got to get business this. Owner mindset, which yes. is give yourself time, buy back your time by yes. using, you
that's
know,
literally 40
assistants.
Hours a week you're getting back right now with the staff. That's literally what we do. Mm-hmm. So imagine what you can do with those 40 hours, right? You can go and figure out different ways to make your business better. You can go to the beach if you want, go on a vacation, whatever it is,
yeah,
right?
Mental health.
so that's where we really come in, is that you're getting back 40 hours a week from yourself, that you don't have to worry about all these different headaches. We're trying to take that huge monkey off your back and make sure that you can focus on what's important. That's your patient care. That's your business. That's growing it, and that's what you're passionate about.
Well, I'm so glad you came in. I thought I'd bring you on the podcast because not everybody has the knowledge that virtual assistants are out there and so accessible. And like, you have a great person who's screening and vetting them and then introducing them. Yeah. And it's been a process for us. We've definitely learned so much from bringing on VAs. And I think I'm definitely going to keep doing it. So I wanted my audience to learn the facts and hear from someone who's so experienced.
Yeah, and whoever's interested in it, you can reach out to myself, mention Dr. K.
Yeah, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find us in a lot of different places, all over social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, our website, staffingfordoctors.com.
Tell
them Dr. K sent you.
Do you have a Dr. K discount code?
Yes, we'll give a
referral
discount.
Yes.
We'll give a discount code. We'll give 2 weeks free to any staff
that's
coming in too.
That's so nice.
If you mention Dr. K, and we'll be happy to help you make sure that you're successful and that we can help set up your practice.
I love it. You guys, honestly, think about doing things differently, because you go to work every day, you do everything the same way, you're never going to change and innovate. And we see these pain points for our own staff when they can't keep up with the workload, and for our patients when they want like more immediate access and results. And so this is a win-win. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to check out Danny. Danny, do you have an Instagram handle?
Yeah, my Instagram. Well, we have the Staffing for Doctors Instagram, and then my personal one is DNAB, DNAB. So you guys can see me there.
DNAB, okay.
So I'll give it over to Dr. K, to yourself too, and you guys can follow me there as well. And looking forward to connecting with everyone.
And don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same. It's beautybydrk.com. If you love the podcast, we'd love you to subscribe and tell a friend and send this to someone who needs a VA. We do a Tuesday podcast. We also do it a 5-Minute Friday. And we'd love you to rank, rate, and review the podcast. If you do, send us a screenshot of that, and we'll send you a complimentary little gift size of my skincare, which is super amazing. Soon to launch this summer, we have our whole longevity wellness skincare line. Nice. And I'll get you some products for your skin as well.
Oh, I love it.
That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful and stay high tech. Try a VA. Love you.